Welcome to the What Matters Most podcast, presented by First United Bank and Trust. That's my bank. Visit us today at mybank.com.
Hello and welcome to What Matters Most, the podcast all about finances, community, savings, and security for you, your family, and your business. This podcast is brought to you by the helpful folks at my bank, First United Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Eric Nutter, and in today's episode, What Matters Most is an economic update, and I am thankful to be joined today again remotely by Brad Bolliard, Portfolio Manager in Wealth Management at First United. Good afternoon, Brad. How's it going?
Good afternoon, Eric. It's going very well.
Good. I'm happy we can be doing this. We're coming in a little late today, so anyone who is subscribed to this podcast may be wondering why we're starting a little late, but it's kind of like an odd week because I guess from a reporting standpoint, you all do it every second Wednesday or something, or every second Thursday of the month, and the way the month fell this month was just a little different. So, but I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today about the economy and the markets, and giving us a little update. So, as we normally do, whether it's with Megan or Sean or yourself, we talk about a couple of things: the negatives and the positives, and then we wrap up. So, let's start the way we always do with the negatives in the market. Give us the bad news, Brad. What's going on?
Well, in review of our economy and markets, I want to go over three areas. And as you've said, the negatives, the positives, and what our current strategies are. So let's start out with some of the negatives, and then we'll end on that positive note. Yesterday, Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin spoke at a virtual economic conference at West Virginia University. He said that it is tough for the economy to grow when there is virus uncertainty, fiscal uncertainty, and political uncertainty. And that pretty much sums up where we are at this point. And that feeds into today's risk-off narrative quite nicely. Yeah. So let's start with the virus uncertainty. The path of COVID-19 virus remains the most important driver of economic growth over the next year. This second wave has been hard to control thus far in parts of Europe. We are seeing rising infection rates in several states in the U.S. also. There's a legitimate concern that it could get worse as weather gets colder in both Europe and the U.S. Though hospitalizations and death are likely to be lower due to medical professionals learning how to better treat the virus. There's been a lot of pandemic adaptations that have helped most economies weather the pandemic storm, including government support, and more recently by consumers and businesses adapting to the threat. These factors are helping to ameliorate economic downturn, supporting a return to growth, albeit in a lower growth channel than before. For example, consumer spending rose for the fourth month in a row in August, but the increase was the smallest since the U.S. reopened, and it pointed to a slower recovery. Slower spending stemmed largely from the end of a massive infusion of federal aid for the unemployed, and incomes declined by 2.7%, and that's the biggest drop since early in the pandemic. Now, the number of Americans who applied for jobless benefits in early October shot up to the highest level in 7 weeks. That's possibly a sign that fresh outbreaks of the coronavirus in many states have hurt employment again. The Labor Department said just earlier today that initial jobless claims filed through the state programs jumped by 53,000 to 898,000 in the week ended October 10th. And that was from a revised 845,000 the prior week. Economists polled had forecast new claims to fall to 825,000. Continuing jobless claims, or the number of people already receiving benefits through state programs, fell by 1.17 million to a seasonally adjusted 10 million in the week ending October 3rd. That's the lowest level since the onset of the pandemic, but it's unclear if the decline reflected more people going back to work or if their unemployment benefits expired. So that kind of brings me to the next uncertainty that I wanted to talk about, and that's fiscal uncertainty. U.S. fiscal stimulus negotiations remain fluid as they are complicated by election dynamics, as well as the open Supreme Court seat. While a lack of fiscal stimulus would be economically damaging over the next term to many individuals and companies, additional fiscal measures are likely in 2021. Regardless of the election outcome, we expect more fiscal stimulus to be implemented, And this support is very important in maintaining economic momentum and mitigating virus-driven economic damage. U.S.-China relations, they remain strained. President Trump recently suggested that he was open to a complete decoupling of the world's two largest economies. This commentary thus far has been a continuation of rhetoric that will most likely continue to be ratcheted up through November, as a tough stance on China is an important feature of the president's re-election bid. Overall, election outcome remains unclear. Polling data does indicate that Democratic nominee Joe Biden's lead has widened recently, with President Trump trailing in key swing states. Due to President Trump's coronavirus case, the second presidential debate has been canceled, making it even more difficult for the president to move up in the polls with little time left ahead of the election day. That said, the race dynamic can still change. Markets remain susceptible to volatility from presidential race, where the outcome may not be clear on election night. Furthermore, the outcome of the Senate race, a key factor in the market's reaction to the election outcome, is still uncertain.
Goodness gracious. So a lot of the uncertainties is definitely the key word there. It's all just a big ball of uncertainty right now. Yes. So if we could just fast forward a little bit, then everything will be fine, right? Because we'll come out of all that. We just take a nice long nap. Just take a nap, and when we wake up, everything will be fine.
Yeah, a lot of the uncertainty, of course, you know, just being on the other side of the election would be very helpful. But I don't have the fast forward button.
Well,
you know, there's other things that we have to look at too, including the virus uncertainty, the need for a vaccine, and of course, the fiscal uncertainty. But fiscal uncertainty, I would think, would be more determining than some of the other uncertainties as Congress and the president and the election as we get on the other side of November 3rd.
Right. Okay. Well, it's a whole lot of negative, as it has been for the majority of our podcast over the last 6 months. But we always have some positives. So, Brad, can you give us something to hang our hat on here?
Yes, it's definitely the area I'd rather talk about whenever I'm talking about the market and the economy, and always to end on a positive note. The U.S. created 661,000 new jobs in September, and the unemployment rate fell again to 7.9%. That's the lowest level since the onset of the pandemic, but the gain in hiring was the smallest since the economy reopened and pointed to deceleration in the recovery. I'll go over some manufacturing numbers. The Institute for Supply Management's Manufacturing and Service Indices maintained expansion territory in the month of September and are both still reporting exceptional growth levels. And as I touch on some of these numbers, just remember to our listeners that any number above 50 is a report of exceptional growth. So the manufacturing index, it dipped to a still high 55.4% September, new orders 60%. Production 61%, and employment almost 50%, backlog of orders 55%, and new export orders 54%. So you're hearing a lot of numbers in that growth territory. Managers said their companies and suppliers continue to operate and reconfigure factories and are becoming more proficient at maintaining output. Panel sentiment was more optimistic than the prior month. Also on the services side, the service index climbed up almost 58% from a 56.9% in September. Production 63%, new orders 61.5%, and employment 52%. They all rose, while backlog orders 50% and new export orders 52.6% all fell but remain in expansion territory. Respondents remained mostly optimistic about business conditions and the economy, and that correlates directly to those businesses that are operating. There does continue to be capacity and logistics issues, as well as volumes have increased. The consumer confidence index, it increased in September after declining in August. The index now stands at a 101.8, and that's up from an 86.3 in August. This was a sharp increase after back-to-back monthly declines, but that remains below pre-pandemic levels. The Consumer Confidence Board believes a more favorable view of current business and labor market conditions, coupled with renewed optimism about the short-term outlook, has helped spur September's rebound. Consumers also expressed greater optimism about their short-term financial prospects, and that may help keep spending from slowing further in the months ahead.
So real quick, the consumer confidence index. So previously when we were talking about the services and manufacturing, those numbers were based off 50 being the baseline. So anything above 50 is a good thing. In the consumer confidence index, you said we were above 100. What is 100 the baseline?
The baseline, 100 is kind of the 1985 level, mm-hmm. and that is the 100 level.
Gotcha. So in August, we were well below that at 86, but now we're in mm-hmm. September up over 100. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. And consumers are spending. I mean, one big area that they're spending is housing. The housing sector remains the strongest part of the economy, actually. Existing home sales for August jumped to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 6 million units, and that represents a 14-year high. Hmm. And unit sales in August 2020 were up 10.5%, and that's compared to last year's August, where we were seeing a much smaller percentage in home sales.
Wow.
But given some of the negatives that I went over and the positives, whatever, you know, what is our strategy? I do want to kind of summarize what I've had to talk about and give you what our strategy is based on the market news. You know, perhaps the two largest catalysts for the market's pause in September were the lack of progress on future stimulus and rising political uncertainty. Several weeks ago, it seemed very likely that Congress would eventually get together and agree on an additional round of a much needed stimulus bill. Of course, partisan bickering and pre-election gamemanship has significantly narrowed this possibility. The outcome of the presidential election and balance of power in the Senate are still very uncertain. While many polls show Biden with a relatively wide margin of Trump in national polls, the key swing states are much, much closer. We are modestly underweight equities as we face a possible contested election, which could give the stock market some heartburn. It appears that equity market participants recognize the uncertainty that lies ahead over the next couple of months, and they're willing to step to the sidelines. However, corporate America is very resilient, and they'll adapt to whatever tax or regulatory policy environment is laid out, regardless of the election outcome. On the fixed income side, the yield curve is positive in general, mostly because of the large spread on the long end of the curve. The 10-year, for example, is at 0.71%, the 30-year at a 1.50%. The Fed has said that they plan to keep rates low with their whatever it takes mentality. They expect to keep the federal funds rate in its current range of 0 to 0.25%. And until inflation has risen to 2% and is on track to exceed that number for some time. Also, until labor market conditions have reached levels which they regard as consistent with full employment under its new policy of average inflation targeting. This labor market requirement is vague, but it does seem that based on Jay Powell's press conference comments, it seems to encompass achieving the Fed's long-term unemployment projection of 4.1%, along with higher labor force participation and stronger wage growth. We are neutral fixed income and maintain a neutral to modest overweight duration with our portfolios. Our focus is still quality investments in the corporate space, not purchasing bonds below a BBB+ S&P rating and Baa1 Moody rating. We are underweight high yield credit. Spreads have widened considerably, but due to risk in the high yield asset class, currently minimal exposure has been prudent.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Brad, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon and kind of talking through where we stand today. I know each month we get a lot of great insights from you and your team there in our wealth management area. So thank you for that.
Definitely. I mean, you know, anytime there's any questions, any updates that you would like to have economically or on your portfolios, the portfolio management team, I know we're constantly asking our officers, our wealth management officers, you know, what are you hearing from your clients? What are you hearing from your clients? We do try to keep them updated with the latest releases in terms of market news and stuff by email and phone calls. And of course, in-person meetings, Zoom meetings, or I guess, you know, First United, we have our Microsoft team meetings, constantly trying to keep updated and connected with what's going on both sides. of our portfolios.
Right. Well, and that's key, right? It's communication and staying in touch with folks like your wealth advisor. If you're in a position like this and you need support, that's what we're here for. And so you kind of beat me to it there. We're saying if listeners have questions or want to learn more, the best way they can reach out is just that, is reach out to their to one of our wealth advisors. You can find any of our folks at mybank.com/wealth and get the help that you need. So once again, Brad, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. Really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And look forward to hearing from you again in a few months.
Thank you, Eric.
That brings us to the end of our show. You can always find more episodes by visiting mybank.com/podcast or find us on your favorite podcast app. The good news is we're on basically every podcast app there is now, so you can subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. That'll help more folks find the helpful content that we're providing, like Brad gave today. You can also leave feedback, ask questions, or request a topic for us to discuss by sending an email to podcast@mybank.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with more helpful content. But until then, we wish you the best in focusing on what matters most to you.
First United, my bank for life.
This document is a general communication being provided for informational purposes only. It is educational in nature and not designed to be taken as advice or a recommendation for any specific investment product, strategy, plan, feature, or other purpose in any jurisdiction, nor is it a commitment from First United Bank and Trust or any of its subsidiaries to participate in any of the transactions mentioned herein. Any examples are generic, hypothetical, and for illustration purposes only. This material does not contain sufficient information to support an investment decision and should not be relied upon in evaluating the merits of investing in any securities or products. In addition, users should make independent assessment of the legal, regulatory, credit, and accounting implications and determine together with their own professional advisors if any investment mentioned herein is believed to be suitable to their personal goals. Investors should ensure that they obtain all available relevant information before making any investment. Any forecasts, figures, opinions, or investment techniques and strategies set out are for information purposes only, based on certain assumptions and current market conditions, and are subject to change without prior notice. All information presented herein is considered to be accurate at the time of production, but no warranty of accuracy is given, and no liability in respect of any error or omission is accepted. It should be noted that investment involves risks. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate in accordance with market conditions and taxation agreements, and investors may not get back the full amount invested. Both past performance and yields are not reliable indicators of current and future results.